said some chocolate buttons. What do chocolate buttons do to clits?
Did you actually eat chocolate buttons before this? That's like the worst possible thing you could do. It's quite, apart from an Easter egg, it's quite literally the worst thing you could eat before you record the podcast. That is awful.
Oh my God. Why didn't you let me know?
You're such a bad guy.
Welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Adam Richmond. And joining me as ever is a man with a giant pumpkin head filled with not pumpkin mush, but kind of misremembered happenings from the Lord of the Rings movies, Mr. Joe Devine.
And pumpkin mush. Both of them are in there.
This is the podcast in which me and Joe, we chat about the movies we forgot. This is the podcast in which me and Joe chat about the movies we forgot we'd even seen in the first place, and that kind of thing. We use it.
You'll get it in one take soon. It's only episode 15, but it's no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I won't get it in one take. I'll get it when I want. Why is that important?
No reason at all. I just, you know, it's just a relatively simple sentence, isn't it? I'm curious about your process.
Well, my process is not to think about it and just try and be...
That's where you're going wrong.
...as normal as possible.
Okay, fair enough. That works.
I don't write out what I want to say. I just have a kind of a general sense. And it's been 2 weeks since the last one. When we kind of rattle them off, it comes quicker. Just like you do, so I hear, in the bedroom.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man, this is... Hey, do you want a story?
Yeah, please. I'd love one.
Have you had those things, in those moments in life where you fully realise the sort of person you are?
Yes.
So, it's been a while since I've had one of those. And the other day, I was taking my children to school. Well, my child to school and my other child to nursery. Leaving the house. One's two, the other's eight. I'm pushing a buggy as well. I'm holding the two-year-old's hand and I'm pushing the buggy. And Rosa, the gal, the older gal, she's to my right. And we're crossing the road. It's a residential road. And the house opposite, someone's doing a three-point turn, sort of half in the road, half in the drive. And I've started crossing. It's my right of way. And this car starts reversing towards me and my children whilst I'm in the middle of the road.
Yes.
And you know how that there's three responses in these kinds of situations.
What are they?
There's flight, fight, or freeze. Okay. Those are your classic in moments of danger. Those are your classics.
Yes.
So I'm walking at, you know, fairly slow. I'm walking at a two-year-old's pace because I'm holding a two-year-old's hand and I haven't got much maneuverability because I'm pushing a buggy with my other hand. And all I can do, or all I seemingly was able to do, was just shout, "Hey!" A lot louder than that, but shout, "Hey, hey, 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 hey," repeatedly, whilst I kind of sort of sped up slightly. We kind of averted being, you know, me and the two-year-old getting hit. And I just sort of stared at the car whilst it drove off. So I kind of realised that I'm a freezer. And not just that, I'm an angry freezer, which is like the worst kind of freeze you can do. I didn't even hit his car to tell him to stop. I just shouted, "Hey," like, you know. And then when you watch a movie and you've got, there's a car chase, and it happened in The Recruit when Colin Farrell's shouting in his car to the other person in the other car. And you're watching going, "Why are you shouting at them? They can't hear you." And there was me in real life doing the same thing. It's just a real short, sharp realization of all my failings.
I think you're being a bit hard on yourself. I think what you described to me was a man mildly doing all fight, flight, and freeze. I mean, the hay is the fight, the flight is the slightly quickened pace, and the freeze is the fact that you didn't really do either of those things to their fullest extent.
Mm.
But I'd say that's a good mix. And to be honest, what happened was your kids didn't die, you didn't die, you didn't get in a fight, the car driver was able to drive away with no issues, and all that's really happened is you've thought, I'll talk about that on a podcast, you know. I think that's probably a relatively successful exchange.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't dwell on it too much.
I mean, if you hit the car, you'd be thinking about it more, right? And then you might think, well, I probably didn't need to hit the car. And
well, not like hit the car, but like, you know, sort of slap, you know, bang it to kind of...
Yeah, that's
him,
what I mean.
He was that close and, you know, I could have made him aware of my presence.
I mean, it all sounds relatively healthy to me. I think you've read deeply into that and you've done stuff that isn't... Oh.
Sorry.
Was that... Are you finally taking revenge on the car now? You know the car's gone.
Yeah.
You can't hit the car now.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host. And Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
On today's episode, we are chatting about Logan, the 2017 flick, directed by James Mangold, starring, of course, Hugh Jackman.
Hugh.
This is the Letterboxd, you know, about the film blurb.
The about the film blurb?
Yeah.
Tell me.
His time has come. That's all in caps. In the near future, a weary Logan cares for an ailing Professor X in a hideout on the Mexican border. But Logan's attempts to hide from the world and his legacy are upended when a young mutant arrives, pursued by dark forces. It's a very short blurb. It's 137 mins.
Mm.
That's a long old runtime.
It is long.
I mean, for people who don't know, Professor X is played by Patrick Stewart, and this is part of the whole your X-Men films, which are about mutants and their abilities. There are things I don't want to talk about, really.
List them all now.
Well, the big one of the big debates around these kinds of films, and particularly Marvel, and before anyone shouts at their phone or wherever they're listening to this podcast, I know this is technically not a Marvel film in that it was produced by Fox, but X-Men are Marvel comics, and so I think you can kind of broadly lump them all together. What Martin Scorsese basically said that Marvel films aren't proper cinema, and you know, it kind of kickstarted this whole kind of debate, but a kind of non-debate really. He looked to, you know, people look a bit out of touch and snobbish when they say things like that. So I thought maybe a way in to have an interesting conversation is to talk about genre, because I kind of think specifically the Marvel made movies, which this isn't one, Marvel made movies, they feel like a genre of film, and yeah, they're all very, they're all kind of exist in the same world for starters. I initially was thinking that comic book movies, they're a genre of themselves. There's a whole genre that could be a genre. But then I started arguing with myself, because when you look at films made of books, that's not a genre, and comics are just books, really. And when you, if you compare, say, something like Watchmen or From Hell or what's the other Alan Moore one? There's another one. Oh, Viva Vendetta. If you compare that to the likes of this or Iron Man, whilst they're adapted from comic books, they are distinct, I think.
They are distinct, but they're still superhero films, right?
So do you think the superhero genre is a genre?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think it's also important not to cede the entire sort of comic book genre or the superhero genre to these Marvel type films. I mean, V for Vendetta, I really like the film V for Vendetta, but it's a superhero film. It's just a, I suppose, like a slightly more complex version of that, and maybe one that is uses some more adult themes. That sounds like nudity. No more. I mean, there is some nudity in that film, but I mean more, you know, less sort of adolescent themes.
It's about fascism, isn't it?
It's about fascism. Yeah, let's say it. And yeah, it's based on a comic book. And V, the protagonist, the central character from V for Vendetta, is a superhero. He's a guy who has, like, you know, superhuman intelligence, diction. You know, he's got a superhuman lexicon, let's say that. He's also got superhuman sword skills, and he knows how to make bombs and shit and evade capture and hide in a country which has a super high level of surveillance. So, you know, superhero traits in his context.
He's very much a man. He's more like, he's a Batman in that he doesn't have superpowers. He's just...
He kind of does, man. He gets set on fire in his little hospital, you know, in his backstory, and he walks out of the flames all strong. The suggestion there is clear that at the very least, that there's an interpretation to allow you to say, without sounding stupid, that he has some form of superhuman strength. They were injecting them all with this weird stuff, right?
I don't remember it.
Oh, well, he was locked in a medical facility where they were testing vague chemicals and drugs on humans, and the suggestion is that something occurred with him which was different to the other.
We're not going to keep this debate about you're right, so I take it back, but yeah, let's carry on your point. It's a good one.
Oh, I guess my point is, I really like V for Vendetta. Not to say that I don't like Marvel films, but that it is very distinct, and it does come as part of the superhero genre, I would say. I suppose the superhero genre, when you say that to people, of course, they think of Iron Man, you know? But that's not it.
You don't... Listen, we all know what you're doing when you do that.
What do you think I'm doing?
You know, you're making a silly little joke by mispronouncing the film name.
Yes, but you like it, and you comment on it every time, and then you have a little giggle.
Captain America.
I would say Capitan. Capitan.
Mon Capitan. Oh, Capitan. Mon Capitan.
El Capitan Americano.
Yeah, that's better. I guess what bugs me is the way that people would just blithely say, I don't like superhero movies.
Yeah.
Which then, that's what they used to say, but now they'll just say, I don't like Marvel movies. And I think, and then that's become a catch-all to just
that's
mean...
That's fair enough, though, right?
It's you not know, fair enough, because...
If they say you don't like superhero films...
No, wait a minute. Yeah. It's not fair enough. It's like if someone said, I don't like Bollywood films, they haven't seen, for starters, they probably haven't seen any. It's not the same thing. It is exactly the same. We're talking about genre, okay? Marvel is a genre, Bollywood is a genre. And for someone to say, I don't like them, for starters, they haven't seen them one properly... Probably, and for second to that is, it's there are different. You know, you get shit Bollywood films and good Bollywood films. You get shit Marvel films, shit superhero films, and you get really really good ones. So to say you don't like them means you saw a bad one.
Are you interchanging superhero and Marvel? Because if I hear someone say I don't like Marvel films, I think they don't like the films that are specifically made by Marvel, the production company, and say Marvel at the beginning and a part of the Marvel universe with that big blue guy.
But let's drill down and let's take the people at face value. Let's assume that people who are thick enough to just dismiss a whole swathe of films.
26 films or whatever.
That's quite a lot. Probably having only seen 1.5. Let's just assume they just mean that. There's enough differentiation between those films. Of Logan, Logan isn't even part of.
It's not part of them, is it? That's the funny thing.
Not part of them, even though it's a Marvel comic. And it's... but
what's the best Marvel film then? Like literally part of that family of 26.
Well, we don't want to get bogged down in this.
No, I'm curious. We were already in the bog. We've got to climb out the other side of the peat bog if we're going to survive.
Well, there's I mean, it really hit. They really completed.
No.
No, let's just crack on and move on to other pastures. We should carry on talking about genre. Let's talk about, because this film, Logan, it presents itself, even though it's a comic book movie, it presents itself as a Western. It puts on Western clothes. It's a comic book genre, but it's going, we're a Western. We're going to take...
And it shows a Western in the film. It shows them watching a Western.
That's how you know if you're not...
It's a Western.
If you're not very clever, you know, you need to have the character watch a Western.
I didn't know that this was a Western.
Well, it is set in Mexico and...
Yeah, but also Canada. Although I guess you can have, can't you? You can have them. Like I watched Wind River. You know, Taylor Sheridan's Wind River. That's basically a Western, but it's in the snow. Very confusing.
This is the Wolverine film that everyone has been waiting for. It's with swearing and it's bloody and his claws come out and he chops people's heads off.
It's rated R, right? I mean, you know, it's worth saying.
Yeah, and it's the one I was always wanted. I saw the first X-Men when I was maybe in my teens, loved it. X-Men 2, really good. And obviously Wolverine is the best character. And you just, but you're watching him in these PG-12 movies. Huh?
Do you think that he's the best character? Because what about that one that when, you know, that one that when he doesn't have his glasses on, he cuts everything in half with his eyes. You know, what about that one?
Cyclops.
He's a funny one.
Yeah, but
what about that one that can make all storms happen?
Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, they might have great abilities, but they're not the best. You know, Hugh Jackman was the star.
Yeah, yeah.
They couldn't make a movie. They wouldn't make an X-Men movie without Wolverine in, to increasingly to their detriment. So anyway, he gets to finish off the series with this. He's built up all this goodwill in the bank, and it's like, come on, let's do the violent Wolverine film. And so this was everything I would have wanted. And then when I watched it, I was just fairly nonplussed. And then again, watching it so long.
We can give the director, the writer, that, you know, the team of people that made this film, we can give them credit, I think, in the sense that they tried to do something different with a quite staid genre, I think. There were already examples of people working in that area who were making the staid version extremely well, you know, enjoyable, entertaining films. But I think it was at a time when it needed moving on. You know, this is a little fork off of the central timeline that is required to kind of evolve those sorts of genres. And I think we can give them the credit that they did that, and some of it worked well, right? Like you said, there's swearing in it. There's some jokes in it. There's some self-awareness in it. There are some really cool ideas in it. Whether or not they kind of come off properly or not is another question. And also, it really restrains itself. So the moment, like, yeah, I know we don't want to talk about the film too much, but for me, the thing that this film does so well is it's really small, right? So I watched 2 hours of this film, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, for fuck's sake, Wolverine, kick the shit out of someone. That's all I want to see. That's what I want to see. So when he does it at the end of the film and he starts running through the woods, it's like that's Big Daddy Goes Big, you know, for the clothes. It's really satisfying. And that's not something that I get from watching these other Marvel films that we've talked about before, because the action is so thick and fast that you don't really appreciate it. Whereas, you know, you make me wait 2 hours for it. I sit up straight in my chair when he starts to jog through the woods.
Yeah, there are some great ideas in here. There's like the man who can't die, Wolverine, who's dying.
Yeah.
And you've got like a mega mind who's losing his mind in Professor Xavier.
And imagine a film, by the way, that only explains one of those things, right? Like the film resists telling you what's wrong with Wolverine. which is brilliant. Like I can't think of another Marvel film. I know this isn't a Marvel film, but another film in this sort of genre that would do that. I think that's really nice.
Right. So it's got all these things that it's trying to do. It's trying to be about something, but it also suffers all the same problems of the worst of the comic book movies, the crimes that they commit. And I'm talking about really clumsy exposition, really rote storytelling. You know, a really baggy second act. You know, people doing things that they shouldn't do. Like, for halfway through the film, they're on the run and they decide to stop off with a family. Why? Because the plot demands it, that they have a little rest and they connect. And then also, so the family can get killed and the film can raise the stakes. And it's just like tick, tick, tick. The lines, they are well written. There are some good lines of dialogue, but they are so obviously written. They don't feel natural. And the film is taking itself so seriously. It's so leaden with how like it wants to kind of deliver on these things, and it just makes it feel like you're walking through, I don't know, fucking shit.
Yeah, walking through shit. I mean, look, there's a couple of things. The first is you mentioned some good lines of dialogue. There's one that sticks out to me, which is Logan and this young girl that he's rescued, or who is rescuing him, if you know what I'm saying. They're on the road, on the run, and there's an incident that occurs that the girl wants to stop and help somebody. And Logan says, no, 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 we have to carry on. You know, he's a hardened X-man, yeah? He doesn't trust anybody, and he's only looking out for himself. He's had a whole lifetime of being fucked over and having adventures. He's done with it. But the girl says, no, we have to do it. And he says, look, someone will stop and help. And she says, someone has stopped to help, you know?
She doesn't say that. Professor,
no, I know, I fucked
Professor
it up.
Professor X says it. Do it again and tell the story properly.
Professor X said it.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart says it.
I won't tell it again.
The girl's mute, mate. She's mute.
That's true. The girl is mute. Now, I won't tell it again because this podcast, as you well know, Adam, it's about memory, isn't it? And what I've done there is I've misremembered a whole thing. I've attributed a whole thing to a character that doesn't even speak, haven't I? That's what I've done. Now, what do you think that said? That's interesting, isn't it? Why do you think that's happened? It's a shame I can't keep in Adam's answer. That's a difficult one. But anyway, I'll move on to my other point. My other point was to say, like we were saying before, there's fantastic ideas in this. There's some really great action scenes in it. There are good things in the film that confuse you when you watch it and think, well, why isn't this better, right? But my belief about that, and I wonder whether you'll agree or not, is just that fundamentally the characters, the emotional relationships that they have, they just don't pay off on the screen. And I think the only way that the storyline of this film works for me as a viewer is if I genuinely believe that Logan cares about the girl, or if I care about the girl, or if the girl cares about the Logan, and I just don't really buy it at any point. You know, it fails there, so it fails everywhere else. And for a film that's so small and that puts so much stock into that central relationship, if you don't get that bit right, nothing else really works.
Yeah, I think you've found the nail. I mean, the only really interesting thing I thought was when I pressed play on Disney whatever, it says at the top, this film contains product placement. It doesn't say anything else other than, it doesn't say this film contains a moment where a little girl throws her head, a disembodied head, at the feet of another man.
That is funny.
But can you guess what products were placed?
Can we find out? I'll have a look.
Yeah, have a look. I mean, I don't know what brand would want to be affiliated.
11 Logan product placements. This is from therap.com. I can tell you, do you know what? I did see one of them and I completely forgotten. Pringles.
Oh yeah, she steals.
She also steals, I believe it's the Hershey's, is it? There's something else in her hand.
Mm.
I didn't even notice. That's very clever, isn't it? Yeah. Ram is a Ram truck. That's one of the big trucks that the baddies drive, I think.
Yeah.
Ford Bronco, of course, is Logan's car himself. Apple is shown here because Laura gets hold of an iPhone at one point. There's also Kellogg's, cornflakes, a Chrysler.
Okay, let's go back to Kellogg's, right? She's eating a bowl of Kellogg's. That happens in the scene where she cuts a guy's head off.
Yes. And I tell you what, Kellogg's paid big for that. They loved that. The Kellogg's executives, they said, when they saw the first draft of the film, they said, yeah, you know, we like this one, but actually I think What would really help with the to bring out the crunch and the snap of the Kellogg corn flake would be if the child mutilated an adult man shortly after eating the cornflake, because it would also show that these, you know, it's a real morning, it's a breakfast of champions. It brings you the strength from Kellogg's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or like, you know, and then she could have been having Rice Krispies and she could have gone, that's some snap, crackle and pop right there.
She would have had to say bitch at the end of the sentence though. She would, and it, obviously the character was a mute at this point, but imagine if she had had Rice Krispies, decapitated a man and then said, snap, crackle and pop, bitch. And then through the head.
Where the cup that holds the blood of Jesus Christ resides forever.
The Holy Grail, Dr. Jones. The chalice used by Christ during the Last Supper. The cup that caught his blood at the crucifixion and was entrusted to Joseph of Arimathea.
The Arthur legend. I've heard this bedtime story.
Eternal life.
I mean, without discussing anything that happens in the film, what is there to talk about?
I was going to tell you, I watched a couple of other films recently and I had thoughts about both of them, not specifically about the films, but broader thoughts about cinema that came to me from those films.
Well, this is very new. We've never done this before, so I'll have to allow it.
So I watched two other films this week, Adam. One of them was Eurovision, the saga of fire and something, the Will Ferrell film about the Eurovision Song Contest. Have you seen that yourself?
No, I gave that a very wide berth.
Yeah.
Blades of Glory birth.
Yeah, a Blades of Glory sized birth. And to be honest, Blades of Glory, it's not a terrible comparison for this film. It's not one of Ferrell's better films, I would say. I mean, there are some big laughs in it, but I'll tell you what, the reason I bring it up is because it reminded me of a conversation we've been having recently, and actually a conversation we had, I think it was on it was a recent podcast, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. At the end of this film, you hear for the first time the song of the movie, and the film is terrible. The song is amazing. I think it might be, in terms of a song that is part of the story and not just written for the soundtrack, you know, by an actually good musician or whatever. A song that's part of the story and an original song for the story. I think it might be the best one I've ever heard. Can you think of another film that has like an original song written for the story that's actually good? Because I know your favorite with Oscar Isaac in that. The whole point of the song that he sings in that is that it's supposed to be quite good, but not Dylan. You know?
Yeah, and they were co-written, I think, by one of the Mumfords.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's. Yeah, I was thinking it's a lot easier to write a good song than it is to make a good movie. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I suppose they're very similar in a sense. Like, you know, we spent this episode talking about how Logan does lots of things right, and for whatever reason, it still doesn't quite work. I feel that way about songwriting. I think if you do it by the book, you end up with something that looks and sounds like a song and that should work, but for whatever reason, doesn't. You know, the thing that makes this song in the Eurovision film special is that it's moving beyond the story, right? Like, so much of the song has almost nothing to do with the film. It acts as though it does, but the characters really haven't earned the right to those lines throughout the rest of the film. But it moves you anyway when you listen to it. There's something extra. There's like a special thing there, a special sauce, which I suppose you get with the best films as well, don't you? So, but you would contend of films harder to make.
I didn't want to say great. That's why I said good. I think a good film, good song, just to kind of lower the bar and slightly cheat a bit. I mean, in terms of a song, it takes one person and you can be boshed out, you know, quite quickly. So you can write more songs and the hit rate is inevitably going to be higher because you can write more in the same period of time as it would take, you know, 2 years to make a movie. All the people, all the moving parts, the likelihood of getting a good movie, it's just really slim.
True, but is the bar higher because there are so many more songs? Like, when you listen to a song, is your expectation of how good it is greater than it is when you go and see a film, do you think?
Oh, well, that's another question.
Like, Logan's an album track song, right? But, like, is it, you know, you go along and watch it, you think that's great, but would I specifically go and listen to the album track version song of that film? I don't think I would. I think I would think of that as a shit song, whereas I think this is a fine film.
I don't know what you just said.
What I'm saying is, like, the direct comparison, to take it literally for a second, would be, like, Logan as a film is fine, right? But if there was a song version of Logan that was the same level quality that Logan is, not relative to other films, but just right. relative to like universal quality, I would say that it is a shit song and a fine film.
Yeah, I think I just about understand you. because it's obviously, maybe it's the same with TV. There's so much TV, there's so much music. The good stuff just... it just has to be great for me to take any interest.
Yeah.
You're not. Whereas, yeah, I don't know. I just, a great film, it is rare and it will always be rare because just the very nature of how they're made. And that's why there aren't that many. Yeah. I've seen all the best ones. Yeah. I'm just waiting. I'll keep waiting for another one to come along.
Yeah, fair enough.
But as to your first question, the first question that you asked, can I think, I wouldn't have said Llewyn Davis, but that would have been my first thought just for, you know, songs written for a movie.
Well, the craft there is that, like, how do you write a really good song that's only supposed to be quite good, right? I mean, in that film, I suppose that scene is supposed to show you in a very intimate and intense way that, wow, this guy's really talented, but he's not a star, you know? Like, that's quite a hard thing to nail, isn't it?
I think the song's quite good.
Oh.
So I think, like, that is a very specific... I think maybe in the grand scheme of things, when you go back to rewatch it and you really understand... When you first watch that film, I don't think you're supposed to necessarily get... I didn't get that this is almost like a dressing down of a character. You find out at the end it is,
yeah,
that this is an also-ran. This is a guy who's,
yes,
ploughing a furrow, and then right around the corner, like, Bob Dylan is there, and yeah, he's no Bob Dylan. You know, when he plays that song for F. Murray Abraham, I'm thinking, yeah, give this kid a shot. This is good. You know, he can play the guitar. They're good songs. Why doesn't he get to, you know, have another album?
Well, it's interesting that you have that reaction to it, because when I watched it, you're right. I didn't know, I was expecting it to be better because I thought the film was going to take the direction that he was going to be a star. Right. When I got to the end, I realized why it wasn't better, because when I watched that song and his performance for the first time, I think, oh yeah, this is fine. It's fine.
I don't know whether they... I mean, I know the Coen brothers are fantastic and superb. I don't know whether they meant it to have that extra level. I think they could just be saying he's... I think they genuinely think those songs are good.
He's this good, but that's still not good enough.
And it's not good enough. Whereas the deeper cut, which is possibly more interesting... is that it's like they've managed... You're saying they've
found a perfect 7.5 out of 10. A perfect 7.5 out of 10 song. Like something that was written that you wouldn't be able to look at. It's very hard to look at it and say, that's been tampered with. You know, this is intentionally not better. But fundamentally, it doesn't cross the line into being an excellent song. It's just, what you're watching is someone with excellent craft singing a functional song. It's not particularly... It doesn't score 10 out of 10 in any area, basically. And it doesn't have that, like, plugged into the universe thing about it, like all the best songs do.
Yeah, but it would have been impossible for them to actually write that song. I think
not in Eurovision. That's what, well, I'm saying, man. Okay. Like, in this film, they did that.
That's the exception. It was specifically to Llewyn Davis. They probably, you know, they were like, they weren't getting... I mean, even if they asked Robert Dylan to write the song...
Robert Zimmerman.
Llewyn Davis, it wouldn't have been... a 10 out of 10, because he's not writing 10 out of 10s all the time.
Hey, that, occasionally, he's got like occasionally he throws 10. A 10 out of 10 in there, doesn't he? Yeah.
Like, not bloody lately.
What's that one called? That's such a good song.
I don't know. I don't know.
Got to keep that Duquesne whistle blowing. Duquesne whistle, that's what it's called. Have you listened to that song?
No.
Go get, well, as soon as we stop recording, go and listen to Duquesne.
No, see, listen, no, I'm not, people who tell people to listen to songs are just fucking insane.
I'm insane.
Music is even more a personal thing than films.
Yeah.
I don't recommend anything to anyone any day. I can't believe, do you remember how insufferable you were in your 20s? Because I remember how insufferable I was.
Me?
Like, insisting books and songs and, like, films on people.
Yeah.
And it's just nuts, because songs in particular, because it's such a songs in particular, because it's so personal. The idea that someone's gonna, you know, love the Mogwai song that I've shared is it's just, it is borderline insane. And
I don't think so. I think that's a fear of rejection that says that. We have this group at work where people suggest albums in a Slack channel, and I try to listen to all of them, and I would say like 1 out of 10 things I really like, and I'm so glad that that person's put it in there. And
great, but that's
the group really excludes people who feel negatively about these things, because, you know, we don't want all this cynicism, fear of rejection up in there. You know, we just want to share good stuff, man.
Yeah, that's great. Well done. You want to find new music.
Yeah,
And it's so
you
inspiring.
You want to listen to Block Party?
Not lately.
Have you not,
but yeah,
not
if
lately?
I was gonna, I'd put on something that I already know.
Yeah,
rather than try something new.
Hey, 9 times out of 10, I'm doing that too.
But if someone said, yeah, unless someone said, this is, you know, I know you love Mogwai, you'll love this. But they're not. They're saying, like, listen to Bob Dylan. And I just think, well,
The thing about Duquesne Whistle is actually, it could have been written by that Scott guy from Mogwai. It's a very Mogwai-like song. And I think if anyone's liked Mogwai, they'll like Duquesne Whistle by Bob Dylan. Okay.
I'll give it a listen.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. I think, yeah, it's nice. I was being very flippant. I was kind of using it to talk about my own failings in the past,
of course.
I think you know, again, it reveals more about me than it does about you. You know, I think suggesting and sharing the things I liked, it's a way to you know, pretend I had a personality. Like,
sure.
This is who I am in that kind of high fidelity way.
Yeah,
I like these things, and this is who I am. And if you like those things, you'll like me. And it's just it's a real waste of a life.
Well, you're stumbling onto something very, very deep and dirty here, aren't you? Because to be honest, apart from, there are two different things that people do with art, right? There's like the experience of it, which can be, you know, something you do on your own. And then there's the sharing of it. And I think it's very fair to say that people are able to help themselves define their identity through art. And I'm not sure there's a problem with that, but I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it. I kind of said it in the moment. It feels true. I wouldn't change a thing.
I feel like you're giving yourself a hard time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but, you know, that's what I like to do. That's the age I am now. It's all about regret and facing one's failure, looking at yourself in the mirror and just thinking, you watched Logan again. You didn't even, you know, you weren't even that fussed about it. You watched it again so you could talk about it, but not talk about it. You're pathetic. You know, you make me sick.
Would you like to play the box office game with me, Adam Richmond?
Oh, would I ever?
Would you ever? Well, now, of course, you know, we're talking about the film Logan from the superhero universe, and I'd like you to tell me the brackets estimated on IMDb budget for the film Logan. Now, I've got a good feeling about this one for you.
Logan. it's a superhero flick, but yeah. They've gone bloody, and I think they, you know, it's small. They would have gone, oh, we'll bring it in on a budget, and I think the budget would have been $90 million.
Oh, you are so close. It's $97 million. So pretty good. I reckon they originally said 90 and then they pushed it to 7 extra for Jackman's Rider, you know? Do you know what? We haven't really talked about Jackman, but I really like him.
You said as much, and you made a, you said something that was borderline, you know, legal.
Yeah, that we cut out of last week's episode. Anyway, I love him. Big Boy really goes to town at the end of that film. But also I love him as Jean Valjean in Les Miserables, and I love
can
him
you do,
as...
Can you do your Jean Valjean?
Would you like me to?
Please.
Okay, hold on. They think that man is me, without a second glance. This stranger they have found, this man could be my chance. That's my Jean Valjean. What do you think?
Oh, so good.
Pretty good?
It's fantastic.
It's everything in me to not carry on. Now,
I mean, I'm annoyed that you stopped.
No, I couldn't possibly continue.
Why not?
Well...
You don't have to keep it in. I just love hearing your dulcet tones.
You don't. I try to do that to you in person all the time. I sing that song at you regularly.
Not anymore. You used to.
I'll sing it for you next time I see you in person. I'll stare right in your eyes as I'm doing it as well.
I found him a bit much in this.
Did you?
I think he over-eggs the pudding.
Maybe, but I just love his body. I just want to look at him walk around and shit. And like, I just want to look at him, you know?
He really lets himself get duffed up. He's really kind of looks gross, bloodied and haggard and old. And he's got, I bet he's just insisting, come on, he's dying, he's coughing.
Well, you know what he did to prepare for that? Didn't drink for 2 days before filming certain scenes so that he would look dehydrated and ill and old.
I mean, just someone's got to tell these actors that is what the makeup department's for.
Yeah, you just got to chill out, haven't you? For sure. For
God's
sure.
sake.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I did this, I did that. No one cares. Just make a good film.
He does. He makes so many good films, does Jackers. Anyway.
Yeah, but what's he amazing in?
What's he amazing in? He's amazing in Les Mis.
I like him.
You know, he really comes to town in that film.
He is a movie star, and I mean that in a... pejorative sense.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, opening weekend, US and Canada, please.
Ooh, I think this did boffo box office, my friend. A boffo. Let's say it's still 25.
So the budget was 97, right?
Yeah.
The opening weekend US and Canada take was 88 million.
That's nuts.
It's nuts. Yeah.
This film was big, everyone.
It's extraordinarily large. Adam, and I'm going to ask you now what you think the gross worldwide take for Boffo Logan was.
Well, this, like the last time I said this didn't make a billion, I was stone cold wrong, but this didn't make a billion.
It did not make a billion, no.
Let's say 400 million.
620.
Off. It's I'm just damn. Just
out, damn the spot, out. That's out. A lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It's pretty good. Okay, it's time in the podcast where one of us rattles down a list of films to try and catch the other person out for a film that they forgot. So that's the game.
I've got you today, Richmond. I've got you against the wall because my list is so long that you're definitely going to fall for one of these. Are you ready for me to hit you?
Yes.
Delicatessen.
Ooh. No, I can't. I've got that on the old... that's a great shout.
Yeah.
I'd love to rewatch that.
So would I. Can we just rewatch it anyway, just as friends, and not do a podcast about it?
Yes.
Great. Cool. Okay, moving on.
We can do a bonus episode for the Patreons.
Once.
You what?
Once.
Once?
Yeah.
Oh, once, the film.
Once.
Once. Why do you say
what
once?
Do you say? Once.
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 Well, how do you say one? No.
One.
Well, you say one. As in, you're spelling it, your phonetic is like W-U-N.
Once.
Whereas mine is W-O-N, one.
Once.
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 And what about that film, Once?
I've never seen
it. Okay, thank God. I didn't want to watch it again.
I started watching it and got bored, I think.
A Scanner Darkly.
No, mate, you can't forget that film.
I know. I just popped it on there.
Superb.
The Tree of Life.
Oh, man. No, you're close. If I let you have that, I'd actually have to, like, not be your friend anymore.
You'd actually have to watch it.
I'd have to watch it. I forgot that. There's sort of too much. I'm not watching that again.
No, I don't want to watch it again either. It's fine. I'm glad you said that.
I didn't quite. No, you haven't got me on that. But it was a really, mate. You're really playing. I think you figured out how this game works.
I think I figured out how this game works. You're absolutely right. Fish Tank.
Oh, no, that's too good to forget.
Okay, fair enough.
But I did. Oh, that's kind of got Diving Bell and the Butterfly vibes. But no, I have. No, it doesn't quite pass.
I'm pretty confident you won't have forgotten this one because I think we both really liked it, but I put it down anyway just in case. Under the Skin.
This is a very interesting film that you it's very apropos because a friend of the podcast, Mike Rosser, he WhatsApped me, what is the best film you've ever seen that you never want to watch again?
Yeah.
And after about 2 minutes, my answer was Under the Skin.
Yeah.
So
on that basis, I feel like that's fine. Yeah. Okay. I think I'd written this down before our conversation last week, but I did have Lady Bird on my list. So obviously not that.
Not that.
Cold War.
Never saw it. You recommended I watch it, and then I never watched it.
Eminently forgettable. Didn't like that film, but I was interested to hear what you thought of it. Okay, You Were Never Really Here. You probably haven't forgotten that.
Oh, mate.
Joaquin, Johnny Greenwood.
I found that film very forgettable.
Did you?
I haven't really forgotten it, but yeah, I haven't thought of it since I saw it. But carry on.
Okay, carry on. I think we've talked about this fairly recently, so I don't think it probably has no place on the list, but The Place Beyond the Pines. I think we may have even joked about that film.
Yeah, no, it's too egregious.
Too egregious.
To forget.
Nightcrawler.
How dare you put that on this list?
Yeah.
Although that's probably, I think the more whenever I rewatch that, it's not as amazing as I first thought.
First time. Yeah. It's a great first time watch though, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Swiss Army Man.
No, I just remember the farts.
Fair enough. Inherent Vice.
No.
No, fair enough. Kong, Skull Island. That's with Jack Black and Adrian Brody.
No, Jack Black's... No, that's King Kong with Jack Black and...
Oh.
Kong, Skull Island has got Tom Hiddleston and
John C. Reilly
Brie Larson.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I got confused between those two. Attack the Block.
No, I've got too many fond memories of that.
Yeah. Okay, shit. I mean, so we're not halfway through, so it's fine, but I thought I'd have got you by now. Everything is Illuminated.
No, never saw it.
Okay. The Ghost in the Shell, the Scarlett Johansson one.
No, I don't think so. These are all great. These are great choices, and we might have to circle back for some of them.
There's a whole list, don't worry. Hunt for the Wilder People.
No, not wise. I just turned that off, it was rubbish.
The Hunter.
Oh, with Benicio del Toro.
No.
Oh, with Willem Dafoe.
With Willem Dafoe.
Oh, man, I'm so impressed with your list. It's kind of close, but no.
Oh, so I nearly got you. Okay, Fences.
With Denzel Washington.
With Denzel, yeah.
No, I didn't forget, I forgot that.
Okay, good. Blue Ruin.
Didn't forget, I forgot. Blue Ruin.
Fantastic film. Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I don't think I've seen that. Okay. I feel like I have, but I don't think I have.
American Sniper with Bradley Cooper.
Never seen it.
Okay. The Italian Job remake with Matt Damon in 2003.
Yeah, there's too much of a starry cast for that to forget you forgot it.
Sure. That's one that made it onto my list because I forgot, but yeah, fair enough.
It's very forgettable.
Bridge of Spies.
No, I rewatched that very recently.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
Yeah, what you shouldn't be saying good films.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, Interview with the Vampire.
No. You never know. I never watched that from start to finish. I would have just seen bits and pieces of it.
Zero Dark Thirty.
No.
God, you're annihilating my list. 50-50.
No.
Yeah, okay, thank God.
That film's shit.
Chicken Run.
I rewatched that. I've watched that with Rosa recently.
You've got children, haven't you? Yeah.
She liked it.
Moneyball.
Oh, man, I love that film.
Yeah, it's very good. Okay, I've got you with this one. This next one, I've got you, okay? The Descendants.
No, I really like that. It's a good... Are you at the end of your list?
No. There's two more, and I think with one of them, I've got you. I've left some hard ones till the end, okay? Now, the first one, I don't think I've necessarily got you, but I possibly do. It's King Arthur with Clive Owen.
I tried to get you on that, like, quite an early on podcast, and I feel like... Say your second, but I think we should do the King Arthur one because it's perfect.
Okay, but if this one truly gets you, this is the one that we do, okay? Only Lovers Left Alive.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. You know, you got me. I think, yeah, King Arthur's... The Clive Owen, Keira Knightley, King Arthur film.
Literally, you've annihilated my entire list.
Okay, well, so that was... That was Logan, wrapped up in a nice, neat little package. Yeah, goodbye from me and goodbye from...
Goodbye.